to enjoy coming together and honoring and praising our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We appreciate so much our visitors, those that have sacrificed to come and to worship with this congregation here in Bogotá, and we're just thankful for you, and we love you, and we appreciate you. And for all the homes that we've had the opportunity to be in this weekend, we're thankful for your hospitality and the love that you have showed me and my son while we were here visiting. And we just love this community so much, and hopefully it won't be 15 years again before we're able to come back and to be with you sometime. And we always look forward to coming around and sharing our love with each one of you. Hopefully this afternoon, I think we're going to have a little get-together over at Brother Mike's house, and maybe everybody can come over there and enjoy some food and fellowship over there with us, and we're just looking forward to seeing that too. Have you ever had the opportunity to go to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C.? If you've never had that opportunity to visit and to be up there, it's a wonderful place to visit. There's so many wonderful things to see and beautiful things to see, and many memorials that we can go and visit. A lot of them are military memorials and things of this nature, but nevertheless, there are so many wonderful things to enjoy in our nation's capital. Just outside of Washington, D.C., across from the Potomac River, lies the National Cemetery in Arlington, Virginia. Since 1864, the honored dead of this nation have been buried there. And there are nearly 45,000 men and women that rest in peace beneath the soil of that impressive field of the dead. I've had an opportunity to visit Arlington Cemetery several years ago, and it is a very humbling and awing experience to see all the tombstones in that graveyard. And it makes you think a little bit about those people that were willing to stand up for freedom and stand up for our nation. And hopefully today people can understand the importance of freedom, how blessed we are here in America, the opportunities that we have and the freedoms that we have to enjoy are because of people that were willing to stand up for our beautiful and wonderful country that we're living in. And you know, today as Christians, we need to stand up for God. It is very important. If we don't stand up for God and we're God's people, who is going to stand up for Him? And among the honored dead in that graveyard is the tomb of the unknown soldier. This tomb has become a national shrine and is at Arlington's outstanding memorial. Hundreds of thousands of people quietly stand in reverence at the gravesite annually, honoring the unknown soldiers who were laid to rest in the tomb on Armistice Day starting in 1921. Every precaution was taken to ensure that the body was that of an American soldier killed in action whose identity was never known. And the inscription on the tomb reads, "Here known but to God lies an unknown soldier." How many parents and wives and sweethearts and children have stood there wondering, could this be my loved one? If you've never had an opportunity to see the tomb of the unknown soldier, it is a very eye-opening experience. Although unknown, these freedom fighters have served to teach the meaning of patriotism, the price of freedom, and the privilege of living in this great country that we live in. Now in the Bible teaches us of great warriors. Many men have been great warriors in the Bible. I think about David, A young boy taking on a giant, Goliath. I think about King Solomon and all the victories that he won because God allowed him to win those victories. I think about Samson, a great warrior. And I think about Daniel, also a great warrior. And the list goes on and on. And I think about the great leaders that are presented in God's Word over years and years. Men that were willing to lead God's people and stand up for God. Abraham, Moses and Joshua, and the Apostle Paul and Peter and many others that were willing to stand up for God and His church and His tabernacle. But you know, the Bible teaches us that there are some that are unknown. There are some unknown soldiers that the Bible gives us. And those soldiers are unknown in their work as members of the church, as members of the kingdom of God, as good people. And this morning we want to talk about some of those unknown soldiers. And one of them is found in the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along with me, we're going to begin reading in Luke chapter 10 at verse 30. Now I'm sure as we give these examples this morning, probably most of us have studied and read these chapters and these passages of Scripture, and most of us probably know them by heart. Know the facts of the reading and know the facts of the individuals. In Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 30, Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Now, I always wondered as I read that and studied it over the years, how somebody could be half dead. But evidently this man had been beaten so badly that he was almost to die. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by the other side. Now we see the picture here. We see a man that's been beaten up. And he's laying there and he's almost dead. And we see a religious man, a priest. He comes by and he doesn't help the man. And in fact, he goes the opposite way, doesn't he? He goes out of his way to avoid helping the individual. And he's a religious man. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, he came and he looked on him and he passed by on the other side. So we have another religious man, two religious people that come and see this man. He's in need, he needs some help, but nobody helps him. And these people are supposed to be children of God. Now let's read on. Verse 33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." Now I want you to notice the scripture here. It doesn't tell us this Samaritan's name. Now a lot of characters, a lot of people in the Bible, it gives us their name. But here all it says, "a certain Samaritan." Now we don't know who this man was. But you know, God knows who he was. God knew this man because he recognized him in the Scriptures. We have the written word that God knew this man because Jesus tells us about him. Jesus proclaims the work of this individual. This certain Samaritan, whoever he was, he had compassion on the man that had been beaten up, didn't he? Now, a Samaritan was someone that was considered to the Jewish people as second-class citizen. They weren't treated as brothers and sisters. They weren't treated as welcome people, we might say. They were considered as outcasts. But this man that was considered as an outcast, he had compassion on the man that was beaten up. And he went to him and he bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and he set him on his beast, and he brought him to an inn. And he took care of him. Not only did he have compassion on him, but he was willing to load him up on his beast and carry him to what we would call today a hotel, a motel, or an inn. And he took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave them to the host. And he said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So he said, whatever else that it costs for you to take care of this man, he said, when I come back through, I'll repay you for it. Not only did he go the first mile, but he went the second mile, didn't he? To take care of this man that had been beaten up. Now, we don't know this man's name. But God knows who he was. And God recognized him. To us, he's an unknown soldier. Because he's trying to do what God would want him to do. To help people. To be compassionate toward people. To love your neighbor as yourself, as Jesus said. Now we have another example. Found in Mark chapter 12. If you want to turn your Bibles over there. Mark chapter 12. We're going to begin reading at verse 41. Now this example is not someone new to you. You've heard this teaching probably time and time again. And there's so many lessons that we could preach and teach on the poor widow. Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Now we get the picture. People are coming up and they're putting money in the treasury. Jesus is sort of standing by and he's watching as people come and put the money in the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much, the scripture says. There were a lot of people there that had a lot of money. And as a result, they cast in a lot of money, didn't they? And there came a certain poor widow. Now, it doesn't tell us who this widow was. It doesn't give us her name, does it? But it tells us something about this woman. It tells us that she was poor. She didn't have a whole lot of money. She wasn't wealthy. And it tells us that she was a widow. Her husband had passed away. Now, if you know somebody that's a widow and they lose their husband, at some point in their life, you know how hard it is on women that lose their husband. It's a hard life. And this woman had a hard life, no doubt. She was poor, and she had lost her husband. The Bible didn't tell us who she is. But God and Jesus recognized this woman by putting her story in the Bible by telling us about this wonderful lady. This certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing, he says. 2 of the smallest amounts of money. We might call it, in our monetary system, pennies, we might say. The mite was the smallest amount of money. At this time, she didn't have much. but she put in what she had. And he called unto himself the disciples, and he saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Now some of those people might have laid $100 in there, or what's equivalent to $100. Some of them might have put $1,000 in there. It said they were rich and they put in much. Doesn't tell us how much. But you know, God recognized this poor widow. Jesus recognized her for what she did. To us, she's unknown. But to God, He knows her. Jesus knows her. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. Everything that she had, she put it in. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God could recognize us? Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus had knew us and put our name or our accomplishments in His holy word? Now we have another example. It's found in Luke chapter 7. We're going to begin reading at verse 2. If you want to turn there and read along with me. Another example of an unknown soldier. A certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. Now the story begins, there was a centurion. A centurion is a soldier. He is in charge of 100 men. He was probably someone like we would call today a captain. A captain in the army. And his charge was over 100 men. And he had a servant. And the scripture says that he loved his servant. Did you notice that? He was dear unto him. And the servant became sick. Now also, did you notice that it hadn't told us this centurion's name? We don't know who this centurion was. But Jesus does. God knows who He is. He's unknown to us, but God knows Him. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servants. He hears about Jesus going around doing all the miracles that he'd done. And he said, I need to send men to go after Jesus that he might heal my servant. Let's read on. Verse 4, and when they had come, and when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he is worthy, or he was worthy, for whom he should do this. Now, these men approached Jesus and said, you know, this centurion, he's a good man. This centurion has done so much for your people. This centurion has done so much for God's people. For he loveth our nation, verse 5, and he hath built us a synagogue. This centurion was not a child of God. But he had done so much for God's people. And Jesus recognized us what he had accomplished. Jesus is telling us what the centurion had done for God's people. He loved the nation. He had built synagogue and he did so many wonderful things. And he loved his servant. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent a friend to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Now what do we see in this centurion? We don't know who he is because he doesn't tell us his name. But we see a man that loved God's people. We see a man that did so much work for God's people. And we see a man that's humble, don't we? Because he tells Jesus, don't come into my house. I'm not worthy that you should even come under my roof, he says. So we see a man that's very humble, isn't he? Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto you. I don't even consider myself worthy enough to even approach you, Lord, to even come unto you. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. And what does this scripture tell us? Lord, if you just say in a word, I know that my servant, he's going to be healed. All you got to do is say the word, and I know that my servant's going to be healed. Let's read on a little further. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. So he did it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and he turned about, and he said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus recognized the faith of this centurion, didn't he? Now, why did Jesus say this? You remember when Martha and Mary, their brother was sick, named Lazarus? And one of the sisters approached Jesus and said, Lord, if you'd only been here, our brother would not have died. You know, the Lord didn't have to be there. The Lord could have healed him 1,000 miles away. And that's something that the centurion knew that Martha and Mary didn't know. The centurion knew all he had to do was say the word, no matter where he was at. If he was off in a far country, Jesus could have said the word, thou art healed, and he wasn't healed. And that's why Jesus said, I've never seen so great a faith, even among the Jewish people. They don't understand about Jesus, do they? But this man understood that Jesus didn't have to be there. That he didn't have to touch that servant. That he didn't have to lay hands on him or anything like that. All that he had to do was say the word. And that's why Jesus recognized the faith of the centurion. Three people with different accomplishments. But all three are unknown to us. We don't know who they are. But God does know, and Jesus knows. The work that they did was recognized. Now, what about our work? What about the work that we do? You know, it's pretty important. Now, it may not be recognized by the leadership of the church, but God recognizes it. What about the things that we do? You know, there might be not very many people that know the things that we do. There may not be very many people that know the accomplishments that we do in our life. The little things that we do for the Lord, they may not know about it. But you know, God knows about it. The Bible talks about in Mark chapter 9, verse 41. Such a small thing that is done in my name, God recognizes it. Notice Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say, he shall not lose his reward. Just giving a cup of water to a little one, just helping somebody out in some little way, nobody else may not know about it, but God knows about it. You know, you may not have no great reputation in the church. People may not know you throughout the congregations. But if you're doing God's work, God knows you. He recognizes us. We might be unknown to a lot of people, but to God, He knows us, doesn't He? You're special. I had a lesson that I preached a long time ago. How special we are to God. And we are special, aren't we? God loves us. We may not be a great warrior like David, Samson, King Solomon, and many others. We may not be a great leader like Moses and Paul and Peter and many others. But God knows us, doesn't He? Whatever work we're doing, God will recognize it. Whether it's our faith, our generosity, our compassion, our love, all of us are special to God. Here, known but to God, lies an unknown soldier. Now we'll close with these thoughts this morning. Now as the sun goes down in Arlington Cemetery, at the tomb of the unknown soldier, there's a man playing a bugle. And the song that he is playing on that bugle is called Taps. Just a few years ago, I conducted a funeral service at the church that we belong to in Alabama. We have a cemetery, an old cemetery beside the church. Been there for 125 or 30 years, a long time. And it was a military funeral. And the man was playing taps, but he was off in the woods. You see, there's some woods that meet the cemetery. Big old pine trees. And he got out in the middle of those pine trees. And he started playing the bugle, the song of taps. Have you ever heard it? It goes something like this. Da, da, da. Da, da, da. And I'm pretty sure all of us have heard it. What does that song mean? Have you ever thought about that? Now, I was in the Army a long time ago. And I'm not telling everybody to join the Army. I was drafted. But they played this song every night when the sun would go down. And what that song means is, all is well. All is well. You know, one day, we're going to hear some beautiful things if we're God's children. We're going to hear, well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. I want you to notice the scripture. Now I've quoted it and you've quoted it and you've read it, but have you really looked at it? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Don't forget that. You know, we may not have been known to a lot of people. We may have not been able to accomplish a lot or maybe what we think is a lot. But whatever we do for God, it might be just a few things. God is going to reward us for it. It's going to be just a few things. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Jesus went to the cross. He shed His precious blood. He went through all that pain and agony for me. And we're fixing to take the Lord's Supper. A great memorial. There's never been a greater memorial than the Lord's Supper. All those in Washington, D.C., all those beautiful memorials, they're wonderful. But they can never compare with the memorial that we have of the Lord's Supper. To remember the suffering of Jesus Christ. Dying on that cross for you and for me. Without Him dying, I have no hope. Without Him going through that pain and agony, none of us have any hope. Jesus loves us. He loves us today. He wants us to be faithful over some things. If you're not a Christian this morning, we plead with you. We want you to become a Christian. We want you to believe in the Lord Jesus. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. We want you to repent of your sins. Jesus said, I tell you nay. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He wants you to confess His beautiful name. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With a heart man believeth unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10. And He wants all of us to be baptized. You see, that's what puts us into the Lord. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. When we are buried in that watery grave of baptism, we are raised up to walk in newness of life. The new birth, born of the water and of the Spirit. If you've been a child of God and you need the prayers of the church, you know, all of us, at some point in our life, we need the prayers of the church. We make mistakes. I've made many. And I fall short from time to time of doing what I need to do. And I come forward and I ask the church to pray for me, to help me. All of us need that, don't we? That's what we call the second law of pardon. I'm thankful for the second law of pardon. Because if we didn't have it, I'd be out in the cold today. While together we stand and we sing the number selected, if there's any way that we can assist you this morning, we love you so much. And we all want to be together in heaven one day where we can serve Him forevermore. While together we stand and we sing the number selected.